The Yesterday and Today podcast is a fan-made, not-for-profit, just-for-fun compilation of chronological source materials as they pertain to the Beatles. The show is in no way affiliated with AppleCorps, nor any organization connected to John, Paul, George, or Ringo in any way, though we do consider ourselves premier members of the Bungalow Bill fan club. So kick back, turn off your mind, relax, and download the stream. We hope you will enjoy the show.
Yesterday and Today.
The year is 1988. Episode 4, A Brush with a Legend. This episode covers the months of April, May, and June. Last episode, as you recall, Warner Brothers Records had rejected George's recording of Handle With Care as a B-side to the single This Is Love. Not because it was a poor song, on the contrary, they loved it, but didn't believe it would fit their European marketing model for the LP Cloud 9.
I just kept the tape in my pocket, I kept playing it.
Feeling excited about the recording, he realizes that this could be a perfect time to execute the idea of a one-off supergroup to emerge.
Started something when you looked into my eyes. You started something that began in paradise. In one brief moment, a dream was spun. You started something in my heart.
George and Jeff had always, they had this thing about the Traveling Wilburys, you know, it was some fictitious band in their mind, and then it kept going, you know, it was a running joke. And so I think at that point, George thought, well, you know, we could just be a group.
The Traveling Wilburys.
Bob had to go on the road end of May. So we just sort of said, okay, we meet on the 7th of May or something like that.
All in a day's work for a Wilbur.
And we had like 9 or 10 days that we knew we could get Bob for. And everybody else was relatively free. So we just said, well, let's do it. We'll just write a tune a day and do it that way. It was very exciting.
So on May 7th, Harrison, along with Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, and Jim Keltner, all arrive at Dave Stewart Studios in Los Angeles to see if they can recapture the magic enough times to make an album.
All we planned was which weeks that we were all available to get together. But apart from that, there was no other plan. I mean, we set up a room where we were going to be, and then we walked in and we started writing the tune.
Oh, got some nice stuff there.
We did it for music. That's what it was all about. There wasn't a lot of deciding of what to do. Not a lot of time spent planning out anything. So we just wrote the best songs that we could write and sang them as best we could.
There, Barbara and I got out of the car.
Oh, no, she was long and tall. She was
short and fat. I thought she was dressed to kill.
Yeah, that's good.
She was to give me a thrill.
She was over the hill.
She was over the hill.
What's that?
She was dressed to kill. She was over the hill.
Sometimes we'd sing the same song, you know, just to see who sounded good or if this key fits somebody. That was a lot of the fun of it.
And George would kind of audition us, which could be really intimidating, you know, because, like, you know, Roy Orbison had sing the song and then they'd send you out to sing it, you know, and it's like, well, damn, that's really intimidating. It was done so quickly. There wasn't much time to think or make any decisions, or we didn't plan anything. We just started going until it was done.
Well, it's all right. And if you're feeling apart, well, it's
The sessions ended on May 21st as new band member names were given. George became Nelson Wilbury. Roy Orbison is Lefty Wilbury. Bob Dylan became Lucky Wilbury. Jeff Lynne is Otis Wilbury. And Tom Petty is Charlie T. Jr. Wilbury, along with Jim Keltner, who is now Buster Sideberry.
What do? We just go around?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, should we have a practice or something?
Yeah, let's practice it once.
Are we singing it or just saying it or what?
I think we're singing it.
Ship on the sea, her love rolls over me like a ship on the sea, her love rolls over me. Go away, go away, let me be. Channel to cross over.
George flies back to England the next day. On May 27th in the UK, Rocket Records released the single Love's a State of Mind by Sylvia Griffin, produced by Chris Thomas. The track features slide lead guitar played by George Harrison.
You go and I give up the fight. Angry words frozen high in the sky, the sharp as a knife and with no reasons why. Trust my journey's pride, 'cause now you're leaving, losing the control, and now you're gone. You taught me how. realized things had changed. I could tell from the look in your eyes. Since that night, not a word or a call. Yes, you cut the rope and you let it.
Over at Hog Hill Mill Studios in Rye, Sussex, Linda collaborates with her friend, writer, and activist, Carla Lane, along with Paul, on a couple of tracks advocating animal rights.
Placid creature, standing in your June field.
Placid creature, standing in your June field. With one more day of grazing before the slatted truck. And when it comes, you will go with quiet dignity across the yard, up the ramp, into the dark. Going to meet the final man with nothing on your face except for that familiar beauty. And he will eat you because he didn't look, because he didn't look.
Placid creature, standing in your June field, with one more day of grazing before the slatted truck.
Placid creature, standing in your June field, with one more day of grazing before the slatted truck. Standing in your June field with one more day of grazing before the slatted truck. And he will eat you because he didn't look, because he didn't look. he didn't look.
In June, Paul continues to work on tracks for his next LP in Rye, Sussex.
You can't ask for any more than that, man.
That's true.
I'm not going any further.
That's far.
Just done this to humiliate me, you know.
No, no, no.
What opportunities did we allow to flow by? Feeling like the timing wasn't quite right. What kind of magic might have worked if we'd stayed calm? Couldn't I have given did I ever take you in my arms, look you in the eye, tell you that I do? Did I ever open up my heart, let you look inside? If I never did it, I was only waiting for a better moment that didn't come. There never could be a better moment than this one. This one, this one is gliding above the ocean. The God is riding. Timing wasn't quite right. What kind of magic will be worked if we can stay calm? Couldn't I have given you a better life? Did I ever touch you on the cheek? Say that you were grand. Thank you for the smile. Did I ever knock upon your door? Try to get inside. Sliding,
On June 22nd, Ringo Starr and PBS Television hold a press conference in New York City to announce the filming of a children's television series that Ringo will be appearing in called Shining Time Station.
Hello, I'm Mr. Conductor. All aboard for fun and adventure. Next stop, Shining Time Station.
To a Shining Time Station.
Ringo had already narrated the stories in the UK in their series titled Thomas the Tank Engine. But with this adaptation, live characters will play the roles with Ringo as now an 18-inch tall conductor. TV show Showbiz Today covers the story.
Children all over America will climb aboard for adventure, music, and comedy when Shining Time Station debuts on public television next year. The show is based on the tales of Thomas the Tank Engine, a series of classic books by Reverend W. Awdry. The series is already a hit with British audiences and now makes its way to the United States. Former Beatle Ringo Starr is among the show's cast and talked with reporters in New York. Cynthia Tornquist was there.
I love kids. I used to be one. Hey, I got you going again.
Ringo Starr will perform for American audiences again when he joins the cast of the children's TV series Shining Time Station. Starr recently arrived in New York to start work.
See how much fun it's going to be, because I only got off the plane yesterday. I mean, the other I did in the recording studio, just the voice, you know, and the animation was done somewhere else. But we'll see. I mean, the kids are real lively, so I'll have to be on my toes.
So
they say never work with kids, and these two are gonna kill me.
Star portrays Mr. Conductor, a traveling man with magical powers in an enchanted train station. He acts as the link between the show's live characters and the animated world of Thomas the Tank Engine.
He's a cheeky little engine with six small wheels, a short, stumpy funnel, a short, stumpy boiler.
When Star was approached to do the show, he was skeptical, but in the 4 years since the show was launched, it has become a favorite with children in England.
It was actually a battle at the beginning with Britt Allcroft to convince me to do it, because I thought it was all Star Wars and space madness. And, you know, there's stories about these nice little trains. And in the end, she convinced me, and I did it, and it works very well in England. I hope it works as good here.
The adventures of the Shining Time Station are designed to entertain and educate children through stories and music. Ringo Starr remembers a time when he used to tell stories to his children.
I mean, it started with me telling my own children stories when they were babies, you know. And the problem with that is if you make one mistake, they let you know.
Ringo Starr agreed to appear on Shining Time Station rather than the several other television series he's been offered. He says his role as Mr. Conductor requires only a month of his time and allows him to work on his other projects.
Come along now. Put all those toys away. It's time to jump into bed and go off into dreamland. Yes, Daddy will sing a song for you. Are you ready? Time to say good night. Now don't ask me why. Now the sun. Hold. Daddy went a bit crazy. Daddy.
Cynthia Tornquist, CNN New York.
Also on the same day. On June 22nd in Venice, California, 43-year-old Jesse Edwin Davis III is found dead of an apparent drug overdose. He was best known as a session musician whose credits include being a member of Taj Mahal's backing band. Jesse had also recorded with Eric Clapton, John Lennon, George Harrison, The Faces, and a host of others.
Gotta get out.
On June 26th, Paul and Linda traveled to Liverpool to film a cameo appearance on BBC One's sitcom series, Bread. Linda was asked to appear by her friend, Carla Lane, who co-wrote the series.
Lovely.
Can you bring me a cake?
Once upon a time, or maybe twice, there was an unearthly paradise.
On June 29th, my wife Beth and I were on holiday in England. On that particular day, we rented a car and decided to drive up the motorway on the M4 to a town called Bath. This is just a little story of an unexpected encounter that happened to us on that day.
Crack a box, pilots. We've been expecting you.
Now our story begins entering into the town of Bath. Bath is a city 97 miles west of London, in the ceremonial county of Somerset. It is known for and named after its Roman-built baths and temple that were built around a natural hot spring. The water temperature of the spring can reach as high as 46 degrees Celsius, which is nearly 115 degrees Fahrenheit. Both the temple and baths date back to Roman life when the city became a Roman spa, known as Aqua Sullus, meaning the waters of Sullus, in 60 AD. It is long believed that these waters had healing powers and also brought good luck. We both soaked our hands in the waters and decided to continue our journey on the M4 to the town of Henley on Thames. Arriving in the town of Henley was a treat, as rowing teams were practicing for the Royal Henley Regatta and the music festival that will be taking place in a matter of days. I noticed that the young men and women were dressed in blue blazers with some wearing straw hats. It looked like a scene from a movie, but I'm not looking for a new fashion design. I was on a mission to find George Harrison's estate, or gates, or something. I knew we lived on Paradise Road, so we drove up Main Street, away from the town, and it turned into Paradise Road. We drove up Paradise Road until we came upon a wide intersection. On the right-hand side of that intersection, after the street, there they were, the gates to Friar Park. I decided to park the car at a nearby apartment complex that was somewhat opposite from the entrance, so we can walk across the street to the gates of Friar Park. Upon doing so, I noticed some cars going in and out of the gates. I took a few photos of that activity, which allowed me to catch the gates in the open position. Walking to the front of the gates, I took a few more photos. I had also noticed someone watching us from the gatehouse. I could not see the main house, so I decided to leave, happy with what I did see, plus I was running low on photo film. One needs to remember back then, there wasn't any cell phones for unlimited photo shoots. I had a Nikon FG series camera with a roll of Kodak 24 exposure film, and that was more than half used up. Beth had asked me if I wanted to walk up the road, past the gates. I said okay, and we proceeded to walk up the sidewalk. Friar Park's property was on my right, and it was fenced by a 4-foot brick wall with a green iron rod fence top. Bushes and shrubs were on the inside of the property to add more privacy. As we walked, on our left-hand side across Paradise Road appeared to be condos or apartments. Further up, I saw an old broken amplifier laying by the fence in some bushes. I started to wonder whose it may be, thinking it could be just junk thrown out by John Lord or Ian Paice from the band Deep Purple. I know that both musicians live around here. I just chuckled and kept moving on. Ahead of us on our right appeared to be another gardener's house, near the fence inside Friar Park's grounds. There were three people also standing near it, and a guy with sunglasses jumping to reach and pull down a weed or a vine from the brick of that house. As one can imagine, I started to get excited, saying to Beth half-jokingly, "Maybe it's George." As I got closer, it sure did look like George with a man and a woman. George appeared to be talking to the other guy while pointing at the weed or vine he was pulling off the house. And as I walked up to them, I suddenly stopped and looked. I knew, this is George Harrison. You can say I was a bit starstruck at Friar Park. I mean, what Beatle fan wouldn't be? Nervous and speechless, because I really didn't expect this to happen, I thought I'd just better introduce myself before he gets annoyed at me for bothering him. George looked nervous as I stood in front of him. I guess you can say we were both startled. I said to George, "George, you're George Harrison. Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm really sorry to bother you. My name is Wayne Kaminsky. I'm from Hazlitt, New Jersey in the United States." Wow, this is nuts. I can't believe this is happening. George stood up and looked rather uneasy. He looked up and down the street to see if there was anyone else coming. I continued to say, "This is weird. Wow. I just want to tell you that I'm a big fan of your music and I think Cloud Nine's an excellent album." He said, "Thank you." Then I said that I'm really sorry to bother you. He said, "That's okay." I continued, "Would you mind if I can take a picture of you?" Harrison said, "Yeah, okay, I suppose so." Then I held my Nikon and focused it very carefully and snapped a photo of George through the fence. George wore a white shirt, blue jeans, and sunglasses. Then I said, "Thank you. And would you mind if my wife Beth can take a picture of me and you together?"
George said, "Sure, go ahead." So I go to Beth, "Take my picture with him," and I gave Beth my camera. Beth took the camera, backed up into the street, and focused very carefully on getting a good shot of George and me in the photograph. George noticed a car or a truck coming down the street. George said to Beth, Mind, don't get run over. Then Beth took the picture.
I was so worried I was going to mess up the picture. And so I wasn't even conscious that I was standing back in the road. And then George is saying, mind the car there. And there's that little Triumph coming up the road. And I felt so silly. But I got the picture and it came out great. So that was the important thing.
Then I looked at Olivia and then I looked at George and I said, is this your wife, Olivia? George said, yes, it is. Olivia said, hello. Then George said to me, you're Wayne Kaminsky from Hazel? Then Olivia said to George, no, these are the Kaminskys from Hazlitt, New Jersey. George said to me, Hazlitt? Where's that? Then I said, it's down in South Jersey, near Asbury Park, close to New York City. George said, oh.
We then did some small talk about landscaping and vegetable gardening.
I'm kind of more shy, so I felt bad about disturbing them. But Olivia was so gracious that she made me feel better.
Then I said, may I have your autograph, please? I promise I won't bug you after that. Then George said, well, I don't have anything to write on. Then George started to loosen up. Then I said, I don't even have a pen. Oh, no. Then I searched all my pockets and I couldn't find a pen or any kind of a card or any type of paper. Then I looked at Beth and I said, do you have a business card or something? Beth looked in her purse, and she tore it apart looking for a pen or a business card or a brochure. Beth then found a Sudley Castle brochure. So we had this brochure, and then I looked at George, and I asked him if he had a pen. George said, no, I don't. So we had this brochure and no pen, and I started to panic because this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I asked Beth, I says, you don't have a pen? And she said, no. Then I noticed the person that was standing with him had a pen in his pocket. Then I said to that person, can I borrow your pen? So the guy smiled and he took his pen out and handed it to George.
There you are, George. Thank you.
Then I said to George, you know those nutty Americans, always losing pens.
Then George said to me, yes, they're all like that. Then Olivia said to Beth and I, I'm a nutty American too, so don't feel bad. Then George handed me his autograph. I noticed the big ring on his right-hand finger. And I said, thank you very much. George said, you're welcome. And Beth and I both said bye. George and Olivia said bye. We walked down the street rather quickly, both very excited and very happy.
We were on cloud nine after that. No pun intended.
When we got to the car that was parked in the parking lot near the apartment complex, Beth started to write down everything we said. Then we got into the car and we drove past where George was, and he was gone.
After that experience, we traveled down Paradise Road and went to a pub by a bridge in Henley along the Thames, named the Angel. We needed something to relax our excitement and reflect on what the hell just happened.
What a day. The time was 6:25 p.m., Wednesday, June 29th, 1988.
And that's it, really. End of story.
In Japan in July, Yoko and Sean appeared together in a commercial for the international telecommunications company Kokushia Denshin Denwa, or KDD. Yoko appears to be sitting in a train terminal as Sean brings two warm beverages.
息子のショーンは彼なりの小さい窓で母親の私は私なりの大きな窓で世の中を見ています。そこで感じたことを経験したことを教えたり教えられたりしていると、お互いの窓が2倍にも3倍にも大きくなっていくんです。そんなことがコミュニケーションだと私は思います。
人の間に KDD。
On July 12th at the Brighton Center in East Sussex, dressed in the proper red robe with black stripe edging, Paul McCartney receives from the University of Sussex the title of honorary doctorate during a graduation ceremony.
On July 29th, pedal steel guitarist and innovator of the Talk Box, Peter Drake, dies at age 55 from emphysema. Drake played on such hits as Lynn Anderson's Rose Garden, Charlie Rich's Behind Closed Doors, Bob Dylan's Lay Lady Lay, and Tammy Wynette's Stand By Your Man. Pete also had played on George Harrison's LP, All Things Must Pass, as well as Ringo Starr's LP, Buku's a Blues. On August 2nd, McCartney returned to Liverpool to visit and film his old school, the Liverpool Institute.
Spent my early life in Liverpool.
something I'm not likely to forget. No, 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 people blend with places on faces that I know but never met. Upstairs on the bus sits a man. He's talking to himself, or so it seems. Listing names of old comedians and laughing at them. Down to the pier and where the speakers meet, each of them his own imagined crowd, giving us his version of the book God has written. I spent my early life in Liverpool, something I'm not likely to regret. No, 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 people blend with places, with faces that I know I never met. Street before they built the road, raising jam jars for a worthy cause or two. Prince the dog with one eye to his name wants to follow. I spent my early life in Liverpool, something I'm not likely to forget. People blend with faces and places that I know but never met. Blend with places and faces that I know but never met. Walking with the boys of Dungeon Lane, aimlessly towards the cast iron shore, swapping tales about the Chinese farm, getting caught. Tales about the Chinese farm, getting caught. Down the sports field of the Institute, lives off save the harmless village food, greets the kids who pass the other side, saying, hello, children. I spent my early life in Liverpool, something I'm not likely to forget.
The reason for Paul's visit was to tour the derelict interior to see what would be needed to bring the building back to a more welcoming institute for students interested in the performing arts.
Good morning, boys. This morning.
You see, my name's Nicky Naylor. And basically, to make the mortise and tenon, take the wood, place it on here.
And we get the hydrochloric acid.
Liverpool Institute. Last time I was here, I was little. I was sort of down here, and it all looked much bigger. So that's where the hall is, with the famous school motto, Non nobis solum, sed toti mundo nati. Not for ourselves, but for the whole world where we born. I remember standing here once, some mate of mine, Evans, I think his name was, and he said, have you ever been butted? I said, no. He said, what's it like? He said, boop, like that. He put me on the floor. And this was it, basically. My early life in Liverpool was spent, a lot of it, in this very place, from 9 till 4 in the evening.
See, I've gone, but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Someday you'll know I was the one, but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love, I must go.
As a kid, whenever I was a bit depressed, I'd always reach out for a guitar. I still do. That's how I discovered music can heal. It can do more than just ease the pain. It can throw a lifeline to kids who can't be reached in any other way. That's the power of music.
Mid-August, McCartney filmed a mini-documentary showcasing how music can reach severely autistic children. From the Nordoff Robbins Music Therapy Center in Highgate, London, Paul toured the facility and got to know some of the children.
For about 10 years now, like a lot of people in the music business, I've been supporting a charity that helps kids with problems. I knew that they used music therapy, but I didn't really know what music therapy was or how it worked. One day, I decided to find out. I found myself in a converted warehouse in Kentish Town, heading for a new musical experience. I was going to meet the centre's co-founder, Dr. Clive Robbins, an expert on music therapy, while we watched a group of parents and kids.
Hi, Paul. Come. I'll play.
When I joined the kids, I was as nervous as I've ever been. I thought they might just scatter or show no interest at all.
Do you want to touch that?
Come on, Pete. Come on, touch that.
Come on. Come on, Pete.
Go on. Go on. Go on. Go on.
Here you are. Okay. That's good. Look at this, watch. I'll show you to do it. Look, go. Zoom. 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 Here you go. Zoom. 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 But, just like my kids when they were little, they couldn't resist touching and strumming the guitar. And Peter's playing the guitar. Good like that. Should we try a song? Yeah?
Martin can sing. Martin can sing. Martin can sing to the guitar. Martin can sing, Martin can sing, oh Martin can sing to the guitar. But Peter can play,
as always, music was the bridge. And I know from my own experience that music itself can be the teacher.
Peter can play.
And Martin? I had a great day with the kids. By the time I left, I was beginning to understand what music therapists are doing. They're creating music for children who have special emotional and physical needs. The kids we dismiss so easily as less than normal.
Give me your love, oh yeah, give me your love.
Continuing in a moment.
Imagine John Lennon, a motion picture portrait for everyone who loved him, for everyone who misses him. Imagine John Lennon.
We are in a John Lennon craze, are we not?
Paul hosts the 13th annual Buddy Holly Week.
Thank you very much for coming here to London. Living legends. These lads, is that right? Am I right?
And George celebrates 10 years of handmade films.
Anyway, I love you all, and it's a pleasure to pretend to be in the film business in this stupid life, the cartoon world we're living in.
Next on Yesterday and Today.
Body. He loves your dirty mind. He loves the way you hold him, grab him from behind. Oh, baby, you're such a pretty thing. I can't wait to introduce you to the other members of my gang. You don't need no wax job, you're smooth enough for me. If you need your oil change, I'll do it for you free. Oh, baby, the pleasure will be all mine if you let me take your pickup truck and park it where the sun don't shine. Every time he touches you, his hair stands up on end. His legs begin to quiver and his mind begins to bend. Oh, baby, you're such a tasty treat. But I'm under doctor's orders and I cannot overeat. He loves your sense of humor and your disposition too. There's absolutely nothing that he don't love about you. Oh, baby, I'm on my hands and knees. Life would be so simple with only you to please. Oh, baby, turn around and say goodbye. I gotta go off somewhere now before I start to cry.
more information or to contact the show, visit yesterdayandtodaypodcast.wordpress.com or email at yesterdayandtodaypodcast@gmail.com. Also visit at yesterdaypod on Twitter and search Yesterday and Today Podcast on Facebook. See you next time.
I'm Paul Kaminsky.
I'm James Kaminsky.
And I'm Wayne Kaminsky.
And we bring you the Kaminsky family of podcasts, Yesterday and Today, and the Third Men podcast.
You might know me from one of those dumb voices I do, or my dad from his better show than ours.
Wow.
And we're here to tell you about some cool merchandise you can pick up for the shows. As we mention in each episode, we do not in any way profit from these shows whatsoever, but to break even on some expenses, we have put up some cool merch that you can pick up to help support the show.
Yes, some fun apparel, things you can put on yourself.
Are we going to be selling Marks and Spence underwear?
Don't worry, we will.
You can head to our social media pages. That's facebook.com/yesterdayandtodaypodcast or facebook.com/thirdmen. Or you could head to society6.com/Kaminsky Family Podcast. That's society6.com/KAMINSKI Family Podcasts.
Yeah, keep our lights on. I'm in the dark.
Dad, any words of wisdom?
Hello? The lights just went out.
Guys, we need your help. Buy stuff. Perhaps a coffee mug that you can enjoy a beverage out of while listening to our shows.
And if you haven't got yours, please send forth in and get a free one.
All right. Thank you, Dad. All right. We'll see you on the podcast, folks.
Bye.
It's audio. You can't see me.
For God's sake.